Back to In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. Brady Bowman with you, and I am now here with RCPD Director Brad Schoen. Brad, welcome.
Hello, how are you? Hey, I see. I thought Kathy retired. She's sitting over there. She's working for free today.
I don't know. I'll have to ask her.
She's on her cell phone. She's not working.
Always good to see her. And Brad, always good to see you in the studios. And one thing you mentioned during the break, actually, you've been here quite a while listening to the first half.
I got to listen to the politician and the reporter. It's been a good morning.
Yeah, got some good insight there. Well, you mentioned drone use, and that's something the department is looking into, like so many entities are looking into drone use anymore.
Right, yeah, we're taking a look at it. We actually have somebody on our staff who has a private business and a license and is, you know, all certified and FAA okayed, Federal Aviation Administration, got the okay to fly privately. And he approached us at the administration, myself and the assistant director and his commander, about, hey, you know, I think this might be of some benefit to the police department. There's some things here that I think we could do that would benefit the public and, you know, of course, by virtue of that, the PD. I'd like to take a look at it. So we said, sure, you know, get us something in writing. Tell us what you're thinking. So he did. He drafted a proposal, and the proposal, just to be clear, so everybody understands up front, we don't have a drone program right now. What we've got is a pilot project to sort of test fly them, so to speak.
Is that a state project or a federal project?
No, it's local.
Local?
Yeah, it's our own pilot project. And by that, what I mean is we're not by any stretch of the imagination committed to this. What we are doing is spending 2018 evaluating to try to determine, okay, what uses does it have? Does it do what we think it does? And at the same time, we're doing those things. And, you know, we got some people now trained to fly them. We send them over to to Salina, the K-State.
Polytechnic.
Polytechnic, yeah. Thing. They got the flight training over there. They actually have a program where we're learning how to fly drones. I had no idea. But they do, and we've got a couple, three guys now who are, you know, qualified to fly them. And, of course, the first thing you need to do is, well, there are a couple of things, and they're happening in tandem. The first thing you need to do is get these guys familiar with them and start testing them out, see what you can do, see what their capabilities are. And the second thing we need to do, and probably more important, frankly, is the policy end of things. We need to take a look at, you know, what the restrictions are on them, what the requirements are for them. So I can tell you that just by way of one example, you have to have permission from the FAA to get a license to fly them. And once you've got that, you're good to go. But getting that permit from the FAA, as I suspect getting anything from the federal government is a difficult thing to do. It's time-consuming. It's laborious. It's pretty technical. And we've been working probably four or five months now, I'm going to say, to get to the point where we're ready to send in a letter that we have to send to get our certificate to be able to fly. And then, of course, once you send that in, it's a, I don't know, anywhere from 2 to 3 or 4 month review process. In the meantime, we're starting on the policy development end of things. We've talked with a number of other police departments who have drone programs. And I can tell you that everybody involved in this process wants to see a successful outcome, providing that there's use for these things. And we can talk about the use in a little bit. But I think one of the things that's important for the public to know, because it's kind of a big deal. I say that tongue in cheek. It is a big deal when it comes to privacy concerns. We understand those concerns. And I think what a lot of people think is, okay, if you're starting a drone program, you're probably going to have to find all the specific case law and drone this and drone that. And
which is evolving all the time anyway.
It is. Well. It's evolving right now. But I think one of the common misconceptions a lot of people have is that, you know, frequently, at least in my experience, when you look at court decisions, you know, cops in general would love to have all these bright line rules from, for example, the Supreme Court or the 10th Circuit Court or local municipal court or the district court here locally. But a lot of times that's not the way courts work, especially in these larger matters. And the higher up you go, the more broad and general they get. So there are any one of a number of cases out there already that have to do with privacy rights, typically in terms of search and seizure, because when cops run afoul of privacy rights, that's usually how they do it. It's not exclusively, but it's usually how they do it. And so there are a number of guidelines out there now that that say things like, and I'm going to just, I'm not going to use any court lingo here, but say things now about, you know, if you are where you have a right to be as a police officer, which is pretty much where the public has a right to be, and you see something or hear something or smell something or somehow observe something that gives you reason to believe that things are amiss and you need to go start checking it out, then you can do that. Well, the reason the court writes those, I believe, broadly, is because, especially the Supreme Court, which controls, is that they don't want to deal just with the issue at hand. They want to try to provide principles, broad guidelines, a framework within which, in our case here, since we're talking to me, in within which the cops work. And so the way a lot of those decisions have come about and the language that the court used, I think, is applicable to what we're talking about here today, and that is a drone program and the privacy rights, privacy concerns that arise by virtue of the cops having something that can fly over your house. that said, we don't really have any interest, and I think now is probably a time to, I guess, evolve the discussion a little bit into what are we going to use them for. Yeah, we don't have any plans on flying them over your backyard and seeing what's going on, you know, by the pool, or buzzing them down and peeking in the windows, you know, infrared that can look through walls. I mean, we're not talking about any of that stuff. I mean, it's just not on the horizon for us. But there are a number of things we think we can do with them. One of the things is, you know, search and rescue. And a couple of, well, one pretty direct and relatively regular local occurrence. It's not at all uncommon for us to get calls periodically about maybe a child with disabilities, maybe an autistic child or something has wandered away from home, or an adult who's having some memory issues, you know, wandering away from their care facility or their house or something like that. And everyone is concerned about this, rightly so, because, you know, you want to find these kids, you want to find these older adults maybe before it gets cold, or I'm given to understand some kids with autism are, you know, particularly drawn to water. I mean, there, you can imagine there's a lot of bad outcomes here. I mean, there's a lot of bad scenarios that could result. In the past, when we've gotten those calls, what we've done is basically got on the phone and called everybody in and gone out and started beating the bushes. And, you know, beating the bushes around Manhattan, Kansas, is a little bit different than doing it where I grew up out in north central Kansas, where the only trees grow along the rivers,
right.
You know.
A little more bushes out here.
Yeah, there's a lot of shrubs, cedar trees. Good Lord, they're taking over the planet, by the way. I'm pretty sure it's a conspiracy by the trees. But in any case, that's a difficult thing. When you're looking for somebody that might have wandered into a grove or a side hill of cedar trees or the brush that we've got, and literally we can spend hours with all sorts of people in on overtime doing that. And then if we have this drone, and I've seen the capabilities of it, we do have this particular capability. We do have a FLIR, F-L-I-R, forward-looking infrared radar that makes heat signatures show up as red and, you know, greens and blues for cooler things. And our guys have already taken out and tested on a creek or river bottom and had one of the guys try to hide, and at nighttime or during the day, you can pick this person out. Well, how much easier is that than wading into a grove of cedar trees and try to squeeze in between them all and locate someone who, you know, may not be able to respond? So that's one of the things we pictured using it for. The other thing, that's the search part. The other thing, the rescue side of it, is, interestingly enough, I just did a presentation to the Chamber of Commerce, I think it was, day before yesterday in the morning. They have a Good Morning Manhattan event. And a couple of days before I went up to do that, I saw that the first ever drone rescue of someone at sea had occurred. There was a couple of teenage boys in the surf off the coast of Australia. They got all those nice beaches down there, you know. That's the upside to living in Australia. And they had gotten out in the rough surf, and the drone flew over and dropped a flotation device to them, saved them both. Now, you know, we don't have any of those nice beaches around here. That's the downside. The upside is we don't have any sharks.
That's true.
Yeah. But we do have a lake. And I can tell you that during the course of my career at the PD, there have been a number of occasions out at the lake where people have boats turn over. It gets to be nighttime. You know, they don't show up. Somebody calls. We go look for them. Now we're reduced to doing what? Getting another boat, going out on the lake with spotlights, see if we can find them. If we have the drone with the FLIR, we can just fly it up the lake. It's not that wide a lake. Look around and, you know, see what we can come up with. And lo and behold, maybe you have the possibility of getting them some flotation equipment if they need it. So that's just the search and rescue side of things. There are a number of other things we can do with them.
And we do have a phone call. We'll take this phone call real quick, and then we'll go to a break. We're due for one, but go ahead, caller.
Two questions, one from the last program and the other one is from this program. Last week you talked about, the question was asked, that the Supreme Court ruled out that you can do a field sobriety test because it's kind of like going fishing and, you know, seeing what you have. But anyway, they ruled against it, and I just was wondering, have all the departments ceased doing that, or they still do it? That's the first question. The next one is, when you talk about these drones, I think it would be a good idea in a couple of instances. If you had a robbery or someone you're chasing, it seems like it would be pretty easy to do that instead of running cars around town at 75 miles an hour and chance of hitting somebody. And the next question would be, what will be the restrictions if you do get them, or if the other departments get them? Will they need to have a search warrant to go look down in the windows and look at the pool and see what's going on? Because I guess as now, if you have to go in, you need a search warrant. So I just wonder what would be the reasoning on that, and what would they think they'll say about that?
Sure. Well, let's deal with the first issue first. Let's deal with the first issue first, the DUI issue. I remember you called in last month when I was on, so I went back and started asking around. And frankly, I know who the caller is, and without naming names here, I know that you have an ongoing criminal matter, and I'm probably not going to be able to discuss that on the air, so we're just going to leave that lie. with respect to the drone issue, you're kind of alluding to what I said earlier, and that is this. If the cops are not where they have a right to be, they're going to need a search warrant. So in the scenario you're describing, and I think they're the same two I used, the backyard issue, the looking in the windows issue, yeah, we're probably going to need a search warrant for that. So I think that kind of addresses that question. What it really does, though, is it points out what I was describing earlier. The rules are already in place with respect to these privacy issues, and the same rules kind of translate over to the drone program. So I'm getting the signal maybe we need to go to a break here, so let's do that, and we can, yeah, sure.
Let's do that. We'll come back, and we'll finish up with RCP Director Brad Schoen after the break here on In Focus on News Radio KMAN.
KMAN News is brought to you by ESB Financial. Their bank